Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Early to bed.
Go to sleep! Go to sleep! It's time to go to sleep!
Early to win.
I won the money.
It's the Early Line with Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez.
Line up, ladies!
All right, welcome back in now on this Thursday. It is March the 12th as we try to make heads or tails as to what is happening here around the country. The coronavirus is getting all the headlines as it has affected just about everything to do in the world of sports here as the NBA forced to shut its season down, suspended as Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz tested positive for the virus. That, of course, set off a chain reaction that began last night that trickled down to the New Orleans game late night against Sacramento because the ref that had just reffed in the Utah game the night before was set to be on the floor. They canceled that. Suspended the season as of right now. But I think we all know in our heart of hearts that means we probably won't revisit the NBA again until the playoffs begin. These final 18 or 19 games for teams are probably gone. The big question is, what are we going to get? 50 games on tap today in college basketball as tournaments across the country are set to take center stage. We know they're not going to be with fans. That was determined yesterday afternoon. We know the tournament itself next week will not be any fans in attendance, at least general public fans. So you have to wonder now that patient zero in the NBA reared its head there with Rudy Gobert, will the NCAA, will these tournaments, the ACC, SEC, will the rest of them fall suit here and just cancel it all together? We still have not heard this morning, but that is obviously that is a topic of discussion among people. Where what do you do if the pros are canceling it? How do you let the amateurs keep going even without the fans? Well, that is yet to be determined. If it does in fact take place, where listen, it's full steam ahead here, guys, until doctors tell us otherwise. You're going to have 50 games on board here today, and we'll take a look at some of these big matchups coming up. The NBA, get used to life without it until middle of April. We'll see what happens then. Then nothing guaranteed there either. But we'll check in with Dan Strafford now, let him get you the latest headlines around the world of sports. And then we'll come back and we'll start breaking it down here on the grid, sportsgrid.com.
Well, guys, a crazy night throughout the sports world, and we do wake up to a world with no professional basketball in the United States. Last night, the NBA suspended the rest of their season indefinitely. This comes after Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert was said to have tested positive for the coronavirus. It was a crazy, crazy scene in Oklahoma City as the Thunder and Jazz were set to play before being sent back to their locker rooms after consulting with the NBA league office. The game was called. The NBA is also telling players from the Cavs, Knicks, Celtics, Pistons, and Raptors to self-quarantine. There were some games in the NBA that did go on, four of them in fact. The 76ers beat the Pistons 124-106. Joel Embiid with 30 points, 14 rebounds in that one. The Knicks beat the Hawks 136-131. Julius Randle with a double-double, 33 points and 11 rebounds. The Hornets bested the Heat 109-98, and it was the Mavericks beating the Nuggets 113-97. A scary scene for Nebraska coach Fred Hoiberg. He was ill on the bench, but he's been diagnosed with influenza, the common flu, after being taken to the hospital following the Cornhuskers' 89-64 loss to Indiana on Wednesday in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. Hoiberg left the game with 4 minutes remaining after looking ill on the bench. At this moment, college basketball conference tournaments are going on as scheduled today. The Mariners will move home games out of Seattle through the end of March following the state of Washington's decision to ban large group events as a response to the outbreak of coronavirus. Seattle have been scheduled to open the season at Safeco Field. Johnny Cueto will start on opening day for the San Francisco Giants against the LA Dodgers. Cleveland Indians right-hander Carlos Carrasco does not have structural damage in his sore pitching elbow. The Indians announced Wednesday that an MRI confirmed that Carrasco is, quote, dealing with mild right elbow inflammation. And in the NFL, the Packers have released tight end Jimmy Graham, saving them $8 million. I'm Dan Strapper, and this has been your Sports Grid News Update.
All right, Dan, thank you very much. As we all wait to hear as whether or not there will continue to be any basketball of any kind here, including the 50 games today. NHL has said that they will make an announcement later today. They have 10 games on tap tonight as far as what they're going to do for the remainder of the regular season. They, like the NBA, are kind of at the end of the road here. It's the playoffs just around the corner for them. And, you know, as sports investors, you've got to be looking here and go, all right, now what am I supposed to do? And if you are somebody holding a ticket right now, a future ticket, whether it be a win total or it be a, let's say, MVP or champion or, I took the Lakers to win it all. Those tickets are going to be all right. The tickets you got to worry about, you got to check with your books and worry from the standpoint of, you're going to get your money back, but it just won't be a valid ticket, is that any regular season win total bets are almost always based upon 82 games. So if the 82 games can't be played, there is a pretty good indication that that ticket will be refunded. It'll be null and void. It's a push. Here's your money back, which sucks if you invested, you know, any sort of money through a season and, we're expecting that to be, and you might have already cashed that ticket, and hopefully you did, but some, or came close. Those that only need another winner to Dane, it's going to be a rough day for them, too. I mean, there's no way around it, but know what your book's house rules are because they change sportsbook to sportsbook.
Yeah, and we've said that in other situations before, right? When there's lightning strikes and games don't finish, when there's condensation on the court and games don't finish, you know, we've always said check the fine print on what it is that makes your bet, valid or what threshold it has to cross. And it's the same thing, whether it's over the course of a game or over the course of an entire season.
Yeah. And it's worth noting across the board here, guys, that if you are holding tickets, first of all, you don't know how long it's going to be, so don't do anything crazy with them. Burn them, rip them up, and be all frustrated. Just check with the book and make sure you understand what needs to happen in order for you to cash it, because at the very worst, you're getting your money back.
Had like a 14 parlay in the NBA last night. You hit three of them, and the last one was Pelicans Kings. You hit it as a one team.
Yeah, it just goes one down. Exactly. The Pelicans Kings would be treated as a push like anything else. So you would still cash on the remainder if you got all the games right on that ticket. So two of the six games got canceled last night. They did play four. And of course, some upsets in that with the Knicks ending up winning out in overtime over Atlanta. You had the Charlotte Hornets beating the Miami Heat in Miami. Something has not been done. And you had Dallas taking care of business at home, getting a couple of points against the Denver Nuggets, who can't close anybody out. And you had some upsets yesterday in college basketball, including Dane's Cuse. The Cuse showed up and showed out last night.
Joe.
Elijah Hughes was like, I am not losing to North Carolina again. It's not happening. He drops 18 of his 27 in the first half. It was over in the first half. They boat raced and they scored the last 18 points of the first half. It was ridiculous. You're talking about a 43-22 halftime lead. At that point, it was pretty much over. But just for good measure, Syracuse went out, dropped 38 in the second to North Carolina's 31. And what you have was a epic beatdown of huge proportion, 81-53. Now the Qs get to advance, and which is great for them, because a Syracuse game used to be, for all those years, the North Carolina score doesn't surprise me, because going up against the Boeheim 2-3 zone for many years has caused the team to shoot just that. But the 81 points by Syracuse just goes to show you it's not your grandfather Syracuse and Jim Boeheim anymore. This team can drop 80 to 100 points on any given night. They've done so all year long, averaging mid to upper 70s per game. They are scoring machines, and Elijah Hughes is a big reason for that. They are alive. We said they got to win some games in the tournament. They're a bubble team. And boy, oh boy, if they have an opportunity to keep winning maybe one or two more games here, Syracuse is going to the dance.
Yeah, we've talked about this, Joe. There will be teams in these Power Five conferences that don't even necessarily win the conference, but make a run and augment their resume and look good. And Syracuse could be one. I would say this, the win over North Carolina is not enough to put them over the hump, but it's in front of them today. If they get a win against Louisville today, who is the 3 seed in the ACC tournament, and then have a matchup, say, against Duke or Florida State, you know, they have it in front of them. They're looking good. They got a win, though, today against the Louisville Cardinal.
Yeah, and listen, I don't trust Louisville at all in this spot, too. It is a road game, after all. It's a neutral site game. And Louisville has shown their propensity to have some issues, shall we say, certainly on the road and in neutral site situations. And Syracuse got a lot of energy and a lot of excitement going on right now. And a good strategy that I like to employ, guys, that takes center stage here during this time, is keep an eye on those teams that have not played in a while, like a Louisville. Okay, right. It's been a hot minute since Louisville's played in a court, and the last time they played, it wasn't all that great to begin with, as they limped to the finish line, going up against a team that is just dropped, 80 points last night. Watch them in the first half. Those teams that are sharp have already played at the neutral site court. They are already prepped, ready to go. Syracuse in the first half tonight against Louisville. Not saying they'll win the game, but I bet you they win the first half rather easily, having been there last night.
Yep, that makes sense to me. We'll check those first half lines and some of the other conference games on the other side of the break. If you want to stay right
there. Iona. Way to go, Iona, baby. The Gales.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Golf betting on demand.
What Bryson is doing off the tee right now is very historic. Okay, we know that he has said, I'm going to bulk up. I'm going to learn how to hit the ball further. I'm going to improve my club head speed. I'm going to improve my ball speed. Well, he's done that. And the numbers that he's putting up off the tee are actually insane right now.
Wednesdays, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on the Sports Grid Network.
All right, welcome back to the early line. We've got a total system play that is on the board here tonight. We'll give you that. And, of course, those of you that don't know the difference between a trend and a system, a trend is specific to one team or a matchup in particular, while a system is usually league-wide, conference-wide, or in general terms over a much bigger sample size. And the system in play here tonight has to do with the totals over 150 on neutral site games. And the under, believe it or not, what a shock, has been extremely profitable since 2005 to back a under in a game, neutral setting, over 150. In fact, it's gone 191, 140, and 8. That's good for 58% since 2005. That is a great, obviously, percentage. That is a great system over a big sample size, and it's also been profitable 11 of the last 16 years in this particular spot during the conference play. And you got two games on the board here tonight with that. One of them is Cal State Northridge taking on Cal State Fullerton. 153 is the number there. And then, of course, the Big East matchup. You got Seton Hall taking on Marquette. That's at 9:30 tonight. And that total is 151. So the system tells us the unders ought to play in both of those spots. Neutral sites over 150. Can't say I argue with it, Dane. And I'm never going to argue with a 58% system that's in play on the board tonight.
Absolutely. 58% sounds good enough to me. I'm seeing the Duke NC State game as well as 152.5 for a total. I don't know, though. I mean, Duke and North NC State, both Carolina schools, being played in the Greenbow Coliseum, Greensboro. I don't know if that's not considered a neutral site, but there you have another one. You got Minnesota, Iowa in Indianapolis today. That's at 149.5. That could threaten that 150 number as well. But it makes sense to me, Joe. We've talked about it for the better part of the last few weeks, if not months, right? We talk about the unfamiliar building and what is a more pressurized situation and handicapping the performance and the motivation of 18 and 19-year-olds. But then again, Joe, with every system that we have talked about over a long period of time, this week could always be an outlier because this is a very unique situation that we have to add into the system, you know, so we will see. But generally, that makes sense to me. I just didn't hit it yesterday. Remember in the A-10, I had like George Mason, you know, it was like 143.5, and I just missed that under.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, the second half got a little ridiculous there. They stopped playing defense, but it was certainly good in the first half, that's for sure. Yeah. And, you know, one basket here or there is really all it came down to. But listen, for the most part, and I said congratulations to the Gales, not because they won, but because they covered. They were getting 2.5 points against St. Peter's last night, and they lost by 2. So, again, Gail, I want you to understand this, Iona. Good teams win, great teams cover. So you're a great team in my eyes. Don't ever forget that. So congratulations to St. Peter's. But this Marquette-Seton Hall game tonight is a very interesting game, Dane, because you have a situation where Seton Hall is limping into this conference tournament, guys. They are, they've gone through a couple of stretches here this season where it's just been all downhill. They're too good a team with Miles Powell at the helm here not to be able to win some games and put a stretch together, which is what makes them intriguing. And yet they're going up against it. They're 18 and 12, right? But they've lost 6 of their last 7 games going into this one tonight. And they've lost already 2 times this year to Marquette. So you've got to look at this and go now, can Marquette make it, you know, 3 for 3? Can Marquette get it done? It is always difficult to beat a team 3 times in a year, especially a talented team here. And there's an opportunity, I think, here for Seton Hall to get right. Again, Marquette has not been good, but I do think Seton Hall as well has been one of these programs that they need to get it together, Dane, because they can be and should be, and we've talked about them all season long, they should be in the discussion. We're talking a top three or four seed, right, in a bracket. They could go, but you're also got it. They've gone through these stretches where they just, the better teams, Creighton's beat them along those lines. They've taken care of Marquette, but the question is, can they take care of them for a third time? I don't know. The odds and the history tells us not an easy task to do for Seton Hall tonight, laying 3.5 points.
And, Joe, you know, this is a matchup where is taking place at Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Seton Hall has a tremendous proximity advantage than Marquette in this scenario, right?
Yep.
This would have been, I believe there would have been a lot more blue in that building tonight for Seton Hall. It was almost a home game for them. But then now with it being played without fans, I wonder if this is also a game where a team like Seton Hall will have the, I don't want to say letdown, but, you know, I think the impact of no fans in the building hurts Seton Hall more than most teams in neutral sites because it was in their backyard.
Yes, that's right. Yep. And the they won both games by at least 11 points on average. So they handled Marquette. But to your point, sometimes that means we know we can beat them. That's when you get bit in those types of situations.
It is, and I'm looking back at the previous games, you know, when they played them, they took care of them at home.
Absolutely.
By 14, you know, I mean, again, on the road by 9, but who knows, Joe? And this also, not for nothing, Joe, this is one of the last games of the day, okay?
Yeah,
this is the last game at MSG today. I honestly, the first game and the last game today, we may have a new policy in place over the course of the day. You know, so what happens if literally in the middle game, a 65-year-old coach at the end of the bench for Villanova starts getting a little sniffly?
Yep. And then who knows? I tend to think that they'll make a decision prior to 12 o'clock tip-offs.
You know,
but if they're planning on moving forward with it, then they're going to move forward with it. But if they are planning on canceling it, we'll certainly get it before the tip off, as these teams are already in these locations, ready to go. There won't be any fans, but, you know, Seton Hall at this point, having beaten them pretty handedly, they're just a bad matchup. But they have, you know, they've got their own Miles Powell in Marcus Howard, who is a scoring machine, probably. You know, certainly in the discussion for player of the year here, the kid is just absolutely dominant, can drop 32, 35, 40 on you. Usually that's enough for Marquette to get over some teams that obviously they're at least equal or better. But Seton Hall's just better than them this year. They're kind of a matchup nightmare because they can bring in that kid named Miles Powell. So Seton Hall at a small number, given the fact that we know they've already gone ahead and beaten them twice. They're probably the smart play here at 3.5 points, or at least, like you said, maybe a money line play here tonight is in order.
You know what, Joe? I'm going to be heavy on money lines today because, as you say, Joe, the spread is the great equalizer, but there's just so much unknown today. You know, what I might be going is find me Miles Powell, find me Obi Toppin, find me, you know, these players, right? You say, I'm just going to go with the best team. I may just go with the team that has the one player who can be dominant. You know, find me the best player on the court. And that's what might be what I'll ride with, and I'll take them on a money line kind of situation.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting tournament, the Big East tournament. You know, quarterfinals here today. You had Xavier lose last night, which I don't think anybody saw coming as DePaul took care of business there as a 6.5 point dog. They ended up taking them down. So now all of a sudden the shape of the Big East, you got Creighton today finally on the court taking on St. John's.
Yeah, St. John's.
And listen, Creighton's going to be a 2 seed, guys. They are going to be a 2 seed. They are a train that I'm not sure many teams want to get in front of. Listen, St. John's won a conference game here, guys. They beat Georgetown yesterday. St. John's is one of these teams to me where it's feast or famine with them. They either put it all together and they look great. They can drop 80, 90 points, or they look like garbage. They score 46 and they get bounced out of the gym. There's really no in between for St. John's all year long.
That's true. I care more about Creighton, though, Joe. I really do. Yeah. You could be a two seed. I'm going to tell you right now, part of me, I really like Creighton. Okay.
Yep.
Part of me hopes they get upset so that less people are on them next week. You know what I mean? But then there's also a universe, Joe, they win the Big East tournament and Baylor gets upset or Florida State gets upset. There's a universe, in my opinion, where Creighton can still be a one seed. All they need is two teams in front of them to kind of defecate the mattress. If they go ahead and are the Big East champions, right, and Baylor gets upset early or Dayton doesn't do the job, I think it's possible for Creighton to get all the way up to the one line.
Well, they'll have to do it because I remember this game because I lost quite a bit of money on it. The last time the Blue Jays lost was against St. John's, 91-71. They got blown out. So this is a bit of a revenge spot. And that was just 2 weeks ago, guys. And I'm fairly certain Creighton is not going to do what they did in that game, which was, you know, they were riding high at that particular time. St. John's was kind of a, we can beat them, no problem. And then they got boat raced, certainly in the first half, and before they knew it, the game was out of control. I think they'll be ready to go here. But St. John's got a little momentum. They got a win under their belt. Creighton's now coming in. They got to play. It's a revenge spot. I'd be shocked if St. John's keeps this one close. Creighton is going to win this game. The question is by how many? We'll go ahead and talk about the lines, the spreads. We'll cover a few other games. We'll do that coming up next year on The Grid, if we have.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, welcome back in here to the grid as we continue to take a look at the 50 games on the board here today in college basketball. And again, no word as of yet this morning on whether or not these games will actually happen. As we all know, the NBA was forced to go ahead and shut down and suspend their operation at least until the playoffs, which is about a month away here. And so far, the only thing we've heard from the NCAA or any of these conference tournaments is that fans will not be allowed in the arena starting today. So they will be moving forward these games without any fans, nobody in the stands. I haven't seen an awful lot of crazy line movement yet because of the fans, but like Dane and I talked about in the first hour here, there are some, you know, pros and cons as to what we may see here. And when it comes to 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds, you know, they've been playing They didn't start out loving the sport and playing the sport and practicing the sport and playing games because they wanted to play in front of people. They did it because they played the game. So it's innate in every athlete, even at the college level, that they're just going to go out and they're going to play. Now, we know that home crowds mean a lot in the college world, especially in basketball. The numbers bear it out and prove that home court advantage is something that is definitely going to be there. But at the same time, you are going to get, to me, it comes down to talent level. All of these teams that are going to play today with no fans in a building, there is definitely, Dane, on paper, there is a team that is just better than the other team. It's like a scrimmage, you know. Very rarely will the lesser talented team beat the regular team in a scrimmage. And I think that's how we have to approach looking at some of these games here, where Kansas, Oklahoma State, for instance, here. Oklahoma State comes back. They win against Iowa State there yesterday. They have been on fire. They roll into this game. Kansas didn't play yesterday. It's been a little while. So Oklahoma State's got everything rolling, but they lost the first time to them by 5. They lost the second time to them a couple of weeks ago by 25. There is a talent discrepancy between Kansas and Oklahoma State. And now you take the fact that, and Oklahoma State fans travel well, that there's not going to be anybody in this building here in tonight on either side. To me, the better team is going to win. And in situations like this today, I'm just going with the better team. Don't overthink it. The better team is Kansas. They're kind of a must play today.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same thing. In the Big East, you got Villanova taking on DePaul. DePaul, who got through yesterday via an upset. But will they have enough steam in the tank, 2 games in 2 days, and now stepping up in class? You know, I agree. When all things are equal and having no fans in the building may kill a home court advantage or the idea of momentum on some, making a run, things of that nature, I default to the best player on the court and the talent level, because hopefully that will shine through in a universe right now, though, Joe, where we all have to acknowledge that it is unknown how teams are going to respond to what's facing them.
Yeah, right. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's who's got the talent, who doesn't, when you take the fans out of the equation for them, because like we explained, fans, they're going to back the underdog in every arena, everywhere when it comes to college basketball. Everyone loves an underdog. So like DePaul last night, you know, beating Xavier, it was, by the end of that game, the entire crowd was rooting for they won a handful of games this year in the Big East. Like, you know, all of a sudden now they have, well, they put a damper and they play spoiler to Xavier's, you know, hopes of making the tournament. That's huge for them. And it was huge for the crowd to be a part of it. That crowd's not there. So to your point, Villanova would be this is a much different test than even Xavier was. Big difference in class when you're looking at these two teams. Same situation in the Big Ten here today. Ohio State getting ready to go up against Purdue. And, you know, these are two programs in the Big Ten. I think we can both agree they travel well. And Purdue, Mackey Arena, tough place to play. Well, it's not there. This is a neutral site game. And we all know Ohio State fans, they hide in the bushes, man. They come out from everywhere. Yeah, they ain't going to be there to back their team. But I think when it's all said and done, there is a better team on the court here, and I do think it's Ohio State. It's a small number. I think it opened up at 2. To me, Ohio State wins this game probably rather easily.
I agree with you, Joe. Purdue is one of those teams. We've said it in the Big Ten all season long, right, how it is so tough to go on the road and win. Yep. And on some level, Purdue took advantage of that to get to their just barely 500 record in conference. They did well at home. But now you take this on a neutral site. I believe Ohio State is one of those teams that are, you know, improving as the season goes along, getting hot at the right time. I agree with you. This is a short number. I'm going to, you know, money line play will be just fine for me with the Buckeyes today.
Yeah, yeah. Keep an eye on, too, the most recent game. If it was within the last, you know, week or two that teams have played, you know, ask yourself now with crowd and neutral site, is there really anything changed with the team that lost to let me think that they have a better opportunity? Ohio State beat them the last time out. Purdue scored 52 points. Ohio State clamped them down. They dropped 68 on them. I don't see how any of that changes in this spot, especially without any Purdue fans backing them or helping them in the underdog role. So Ohio State, to me, especially at that number, yeah, go ahead and take it. And don't forget the neutral site unders here, guys, today. Still across the board. No yep. fans. I think some of those, especially the higher, the 150s that we told you were up there, I think there are some opportunities here to be able to cash in on some totals here today as well. What do we got? Four games in the 150s?
So far, I'm looking at them because also, Joe, you got to realize there's not a lot of lines out, okay?
Right, still,
you know,
right,
are
exactly.
not hanging lines for a lot of these games, so yep. we're going to keep an eye on that. But that is an interesting trend that I think may even be stronger today when you add the fact that there's no juice in the building. Joe, yes. I'm looking at Notre Dame and Virginia, okay? Mm-hmm. Because what – when all these other factors are there, right, one of the things we talked about, it, I'll lean towards Miles Powell, right? Another right. thing I will hang my hat on is the Virginia Cavaliers playing defense, Joe.
Yes.
You know, like they, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter the fans that are in the building. Their defensive scheme travels, and it's going to take a lot to crack them down for Notre Dame, regardless of where they play or who's in the building. I'd say the same thing for the 2-3 zone of Syracuse. Some of these teams that have stalwarts that you can hang their hat on, whether it's a scheme, whether it's a player, you know, we need constants here in this inconsistent days that we're in.
There is a matchup here today. Talk about great players. I can't wait to see here, Dane, and I think it's going to be an awful lot of fun to watch how this unfolds in the Big Ten. You've got Luke Garza of Iowa taking on Otoro of Minnesota. This is a third crack now for Minnesota against Iowa there. And, yeah, this is going to be – and we love Otoro. This is a kid that, you know, very well – we know he's going to be playing – in the association in the not too dear distant future. Definitely a lotto pick. These are two big men that can go at it, guys. And I anticipate Minnesota winning easily last night. I anticipate Minnesota coming in and exacting a little bit of revenge. Otoro, kid is 6'10", man. He drops 24 points against Northwestern last night. Right, cruises to, when you have those kinds of stud players, and Luke Garza is the Big Ten player of the year here, guys, you've got two forces of nature going at it. It's going to be a war in this game. The number two is what, 149, 149 and a half? They're anticipating yeah. some scoring. I'm anticipating these two guys going at it. We're talking double teaming on both sides and may the best player win. And I think whoever has the better night out of those two guys, that team is winning.
Yeah, when you talk about big men being kind of the dominant force on your team, to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, that leads to a slower pace of play. More of the yes. half-court sets, right? They ain't running up and down. This is not the SEC like you've been talking yep. about. So yet another reason that this game can skew under, the pace of play.
Yep, yeah. And keep in mind, too, that the two games that Minnesota played against Garza and Iowa, they were 13 of 50 from three-point range. So when you're shooting 26%, that's not exactly going to work very well in your favor going up against an Iowa team that can drop dimes from all over the place. So I keep an eye on that because they did go last night. They were 9 of their first 12 three-point attempts they made against Northwestern. So the hot hand, maybe look at the first half again, Dane. Same court, same building, right. same perception, familiarity. At least in the first half, I would lean Minnesota in this one.
Right, and correct me if I'm wrong, Iowa did not play yesterday, right? You've talked about
that's correct.
The teams yep. that are kind of rolling, right, or in yes. flow already versus a team like Iowa who's now got to get it going in the unfamiliar building. At least Minnesota has had that experience already. So maybe
that's
like
correct.
You said, in the first half, that plays out less so in the second.
Yeah, I love that. That idea. It's something that we use all the time during conference tournaments because you do have. It's been a hot minute for. We already know neutral sites are difficult. So the sooner a team can get out there, right, and the sooner a team can get familiar with what's going on. And let's say you've got a team that hasn't played in 6 days. Well, they had to travel, right? They had to get set up in a hotel. They have to wait to see who they're going to play, and then boom. Now they're playing, and this team just dropped, you know, 9 of 12 in the first half alone yesterday from three-point range. So they've got the sight line. They've got the familiarity. They're already used to the routine. It usually shows up in the first half, but then the second half, you know, once the better team usually has a chance to adjust, that's usually when it gets out of hand.
Yep, I think that's about right. But again, who knows today, right? I do think that makes sense. But we thought the other way when it came to Seton Hall and Marquette, you know? So we can make data say whatever we want.
Yep, yep. A lot of Big 12 games tonight. Of course, I love this West Virginia. Texas Tech. A couple of more games here. We'll cover them for you here, break them down if they're being played. We'll do it next year on the grid.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
So taking a look across the board here at some of these 50 games scheduled to be played today in college basketball. And as of right now, they will continue to move forward as we approach 9 a.m. on the East Coast. No word from the tournament directors nor the NCAA as far as whether or not they will continue. But as of right now, they certainly are doing so. And as every minute passes by here, Dane, I tend to believe that this might continue, especially with the first games set to shoot off at 12 o'clock here today, yeah. just about, you know, 3 hours away. Teams getting ready, having breakfast. There's, you know, getting ready to head over to the stadium. No fans. I'm tending to side with the fact here. I thought we would have heard at least by 8 o'clock this morning. The fact that we're approaching 9 and still no word. That tells me that they're okay with the fan aspect of it, and they'll take it from there. I'm more optimistic that at least the 12 o'clock games will continue to take shape here.
I agree. At this point, you know, they're cutting it close. They would have to make some kind of announcement. But then again, Joe, last night in the NBA, you know, the Jazz and the Thunder were warming up, and then they canceled it, right? The Kings were warming up. And then they canceled it. So I think, you know, all kind of goes out the window if they discover something. I'd also say, listen, the TPC at Sawgrass teed off today, right? It is in play down there in Florida. That's open air. Maybe it's a little bit different. We got spring training games that I think are going on as scheduled. We haven't heard anything about the NBA. You're right, Joe. The noon starts at this point. You know, they're like in charter buses on the way to Barclays, right? Or on the way right. to Madison Square Garden. At this yep. point, I would just hold out, not hope, but we did see the decisions and the situation move very quickly during the day yesterday. I was watching the NBA game. You saw Mark Cuban get the news on his phone. You know what I mean? So I you're right. These noon games are probably going to go off, but this is going to be a very fluid situation throughout the day, pardon the pun.
Absent, you know, any player, kid, coach actually testing positive yeah. for this, they will, you know, the biggest issue was the fans. That was the big issue, that coming in contact with the fans. Now that they've eliminated that, if everything else checks out and we don't have any sudden case, these games in all likelihood look like they are going to... looks like they're going to go off here at 12 o'clock, at least as of now. But then again, keep in mind, there is no threat of, you know, usually when they cancel things, you got to give the, it's for the fans' purposes, giving them enough time to adjust and not go to the stadium, because the last thing they want is a, you know, they don't want fans showing up at the arena and then all of a sudden it was never going to be a game. So the fact that the fans have already been taken out of the equation, maybe that window of opportunity to shut it all down is closer. But with TV networks and TV deals and everything else, There's a lot on the line here. And as we approach 9 o'clock, the fact that we haven't gotten this news, I'm going to assume that, you know, VCU and UMass are going to go off. I'm assuming we are going to have the Big East tournament go off, St. John's and Creighton at noon today. And we told you here, guys, I'm looking at some of these bigger bet handled games thus far. And a lot of Big East matchups getting an awful lot of love here from a betting perspective. And, of course, the Michigan-Rutgers Big Ten matchup, too, is another one. Purdue-Ohio State. The Big Ten and the Big East seem to be getting all the early love matchup-wise, money-wise, from investors, while the ACC's got a couple of games posted. NC State-Duke, for instance, is a game that is starting to pick up steam. 152.5 for this one. The total last night in that North Carolina game, I believe, was 150 against Syracuse. So the ACC, it's interesting, except for Virginia. You know, they tend to score some points, or at least the perception of them scoring some points. And Duke, with how up-tempo they are, and North Carolina State, correct me if I'm wrong, they already beat Duke this year. They can score some points. I don't know how much defense is going to be in with this. But without an arena of fans of Duke lunatics back into things, do we get to 152.5? I don't know.
Listen, and we talked about it earlier in the hour. We just said neutral site total above 150. This one qualifies, Joe, right? At 152.5 with Duke and NC State playing in what looks like it's going to be an empty arena, both of them relatively close to home. We'll see what happens. I got a question for you, Joe. The NCAA has come out and said certain things, right? The Ivy League Conference made their own independent decision, right? They were like, we're awarding it to Yale, regular season, that's it. What if teams or schools make their own independent decision? Like, for example, at Madison Square Garden, you're right, St. Joe's Creighton, that's the first game, right? After that on deck, I believe, is Providence and Butler.
Yes.
What if Providence is like, you know what? Nah, we ain't coming out. We ain't risking it. Like, what would the Big East do? What would Butler do? You know, like we're seeing states make their own decisions, cities make their own decisions, conferences. Would a team be able to be like, nah, we're not gonna travel to the Garden today. We don't want to travel. We don't want to risk it. Like, do they have that ability?
Well, they can not show up, but it's never going to happen. It's not realistic because the simple fact is, if somebody came down on the team was sick or something, they're not allowed in the arena anyway. But a team is never going to forfeit, or a university is never going to forfeit the money that comes associated with. And how are you going to explain that when everybody else is showing up and you don't? There's just too much money involved. It's one thing to have the NCAA or the tournament director come in and put the kibosh, but you know, Providence is fighting for a time. You know, if you're a team that has absolutely nothing to lose, and you're like Ivy League, they talked about, I believe Chicago was, Chicago State was another one that said we're not playing the last two games in Seattle. All right, you won three games all year. Nobody's going to miss you whether or not you play. You know, your income doesn't necessarily come derived from playing basketball. A lot of these big-time universities in these schools, I don't think anybody's going to want to fall out of line without a solid reason. And if the reason is the virus, well, then, yeah, trust me, everybody's going to not play today. But a team doing it on their own would be a very costly maneuver. To be an abundance of precaution, that's also an abundance of money that you would be walking away from. And how do you explain it to the kids that we're doing this for your best interest? You know that the athletes are going to be like, oh no, oh hell no, you're not. No, you know, we've got a shot to do this. We're going to go ahead and do it, especially if a team like Butler comes out. I mean, Providence, the hottest team in the country. This game, to me, I think is going to be an all-out war. I love Providence. Quietly, they've just gone about their business, both defensively and offensively, and have absolutely boat raced people. And Butler, they started out like a house of fire, and they've just that slow decline with Butler as the season progressed over the last month. Do not trust Butler in this spot at all. I love Providence moving forward. And now that Xavier's out, Providence could very well be a dark horse in the Big East to hold that crown in advance.
Yeah, that's possible. You know, I still lean towards Creighton and Villanova and Seton Hall. I think all three of those are Sweet 16 caliber teams. And when we talk about it, Joe, with all this other nonsense going around, right, we're going to lean to the quality and specific players that we know can do it. So today, I think you're going to see me do chalky money line parlays, Joe. I'm going to take like a Kansas, a Duke, a Seton Hall, a Creighton, and I'm going to look to find two or three that I find most comfortable with. And I think I'm going to parlay some of the chalky guys today.
Yeah, Providence winners of six straight, the highest team in the Big East. Butler won their last three, and they're getting points, Providence. So this is, you go from Creighton to Providence, Butler, and then, of course, it'll culminate if we get there tonight with Marquette and Seton Hall. And can Marquette, can they get over the hump? They've lost to him twice. Are they going to lose to him a third time? Something to be determined, but get ready for the Big Ten to go. A lot of big matchups, teams that we have followed, and top 25 teams that had the day off yesterday. Well, they're ready to go in the quarterfinals today. Teams like Duke and Iowa. You are going to have also, I believe, the SEC kickoff today, right? Alabama, Tennessee. Yeah. Talk about no defense. Texas Tech and Texas in the Big 12 getting ready to go at it today as well. And can Texas rebound from throwing up all over themselves? Both of these teams can ill afford a loss if they plan on going to the tournament. That, to me, is a nightmare of a matchup for both of those teams. I cannot wait to see if Shaka Smart rebounds, or does Chris Beard continue his path of greatness in the Big 12, trying to defend, he lost in that game to Virginia last year. Will he be able to advance past Texas today? A lot of intrigue in that matchup, especially with nobody in the stands.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can go out west as well. We were right. Arizona got the job done yesterday. They advanced. I'm looking at a rivalry game between Oregon, Oregon State. You have the same kind of things where some of these teams are hot, and other ones are coming off the bye, just getting into the flow now. A lot of factors to consider today. Let's go the safe route. We don't know how these kids are going to respond to all the factors that are at play. I'm going money line today. I'm going cream of the hopefully rising to the top.
Yep, Penn State, Indiana as well, UCLA, Cal. Cal pulls the upset over Stanford. The under hits, but Stanford just, I didn't expect Stanford to be the one not to make it to 50, though. Crazy stuff there. So let the games commence. We'll be back again tomorrow, of course. If it continues, we will just continue to break down these games for you, get you ready for Selection Sunday as long as we can. In the meantime, whatever you play today, whatever games you got, good luck with them. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. The morning after is next year on The Grid. Sportsgrid.com.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.